This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from This Week in Cougar Sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
I mean, this is a roster that's ready to go.
We just gotta keep doing what we've been doing, you know.
When we click and things are rolling, then we're one of the best offenses in college football.
The more success that he's able to have early, the more confidence you also expect him to gain over the course of the season.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And joining us now is CBS Sports college football writer, a man who probably watched 10 times more college football games than you did last Saturday, and that's saying something. He is Shahan Jeyaraja back on BYUSN. Shahan, how are you after another busy weekend of football?
I'm doing great. You know, the funny thing about week two is that after how crazy week one is, it almost feels like a vacation. I was like looking down at 10:30, like, you know, I mean, I'm just going to flip on this BYU game and then I can go to bed. So it feels good to be back, though.
It's awesome. And BYU's 2-0. Nice win against Stanford on Saturday. What are some of your biggest takeaways from what you've seen and read about BYU so far?
Yeah, I mean, their defense looks unbelievable. I knew that this was going to be a defensive-led team, but I see growth not just from this year, but from last year to this year. This defense looks even better. Now, of course, the opponents are what they are, but I mean, to hold a team over two games to 0.7 yards per carry is unbelievable. I don't care what opponent you're playing. And I think that that linebacker duo of Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker just unbelievable. Two guys who are going to be playing in the NFL in 2026, and one of the best linebacker combos, I would argue, in all of college football. So very excited about them. You know, the offense is a little bit of a work in progress, but I think that we knew that that was probably going to be the case. I loved getting to see some of the running component against Portland State, but, you know, against Stanford, it was a little bit more inconsistent. So definitely an area for growth there, but I think a lot of exciting signs as well.
Shahan, you mentioned the offense working through some understandable struggles, if you will. I don't even know if I want to call it a struggle. It's more just they're working off some rust and trying to figure some things out. But Aaron Roderick, the offensive coordinator, said as far as Barrett Bachmeier goes, he's right on schedule in his opinion. How do you see Barrett Bachmeier and what he has done through two games for BYU?
No, I mean, I agree with him. I think that he's right on schedule. I don't think that they've asked him to do very much to this point in live action, which obviously makes sense for a guy who was playing high school football a year ago. But, you know, when he's been asked to do things, he's played well. I mean, I think about that pass to Chase Roberts. Like, that's a really good pass. That is a college football pass that you're going to need him to make in big spots. And obviously the running component has been something that we heard about, but he lives up to that number 47 number. I'll tell you what, he loves to go through guys. We'll obviously see if they try to coach it out of him a little bit when he gets in the Big 12 play. But I mean, I agree. I think that you see the talent, you see the moments, you also see the inconsistency, you also see the freshmanness of it all. So, you know, I'd love to see them open the playbook just a little bit, especially when you're playing overmatched opponents. So we just get some live reps. But I think that he's done everything that they've asked of him so far. And for a true freshman, I think he's playing very well.
At 2-0, certainly BYU expects to go to ECU next week, although ECU passes for 373 a game. That'll be a fun matchup against this BYU defense. Should BYU win that one? They have Colorado, West Virginia, Arizona as a start in the Big 12. Through six games, what's your expectation of BYU's record? What's it going to be?
I'd be disappointed if it's not 6-0, just because I think you
Let's
look
go!
At those teams. Well, I think you look at those teams. West Virginia, right? I mean, they look like a total disaster. They just lost their best player, Jaheim White. You know, Colorado's been very inconsistent. They've just turned to their third-string quarterback, who looked very good in the second half, but I think that BYU should be a better team than that. Obviously, the ECU game you expect to handle. So, like, if BYU is the defense that I think they are, I think that they should be able to put all of these teams away. I think they should be able to fly through those first six games. And again, hopefully you get to slowly bring along Bear Bachmeier, because I think that that passing component is kind of the linchpin piece towards BYU being a very good team or being a Big 12 title caliber team. But I mean, again, what I've seen from the defense alone, I think, should give them a really good chance to win all six of these games. I'd be disappointed if they don't do that.
Shahan Jeyaraja of CBS Sports is on BYU Sports Nation. BYU is currently the second team out of the latest AP Top 25 poll. Do you feel like BYU deserves to be in the early season Top 25 for whatever that's worth?
Yeah, I'm okay with them being right on the edge right now. You know, we talked about, obviously, the first two games were against two of the worst teams that they're going to play this season. And they looked good in those games, but I don't think that they looked so dominant that they just have to be there, right? I'm okay waiting and seeing on them. I think that, you know, BYU's case is maybe even worse than a team like TCU that just is just outside right now. So I think that being one of those first couple of teams out is just about right for this program. If they go in and they crush ECU, if they put them to sleep, if they go and beat Colorado, I think that they will easily be in this poll. And certainly, by the way, if they start 6-0 like I hope, I think that they will definitely start moving way up those rankings.
Where do you have them in the top five of the Big 12? Are they in the top five or are they just down?
Yeah, I think that I'd have them right in that top five conversation. Again, if I got an amazing game from there in week two, I think that I'd have them top two, three. I've talked about all offseason. Like, I think that the quarterback situation took them from being a potential favorite to being kind of in the mix. And I think right now they've elevated past, obviously, teams like Kansas State. I think that, you know, they're right there, maybe even ahead of a team like Arizona State right now with what happened against Mississippi State. But I mean, you know, Utah's looked really good so far, too. Obviously, Texas Tech has obliterated their two bad opponents that they've played to this point. I think Iowa State has proven themselves clearly in that top group. So I think that they're kind of right in that top five conversation with the chance to potentially move up and do more.
Shahan, you mentioned Iowa State, who clearly has some quality to their resume right now. They have been tested early and have passed those tests. TCU is an interesting team because they've only played the game against Chapel Hill and North Carolina. Then you assess a team like Texas Tech, even Baylor. Like, when you look at the top tier of the Big 12, how do you feel like the conference and their powers right now are being perceived amidst all of college football?
Well, I mean, last year we had this conversation all year that when the teams that have high expectations falter, I think it just hurts the Big 12 in a way that it doesn't hurt other leagues. And Arizona State going on the road and losing to the worst team in the SEC, I think is going to be something that follows the conference, not just short term, but long term. Kansas State, also one of those teams that was in the top 20. They, of course, have a really poor start to the year. Now, at least some of their start to the year was against another Big 12 team in Iowa State. So you almost get to keep some of that credibility, but I do think it hurts in terms of standing, I guess you could call it. But I mean, I think as well, like TCU, when they go on the road and they obliterate North Carolina, that's one of those games that's going to really hold you over. Baylor being able to outlast SMU in double overtime, that's one of those things that holds you over. And I think that also, again, like Iowa State beating Iowa the way that they did, like that matters. I think that when you have these opportunities against non-conference opponents from the power conferences, you have to take advantage of those opportunities. And I think so far against the SEC, they haven't necessarily passed those tests. Against the Big Ten and the ACC, I think they've done a really good job.
Little did we think, hey, Kansas, you got to rep us in football. But here we are in 2025. They are a reputable program. BYU looking for its first win against Kansas, 0-2. But 2-0 in men's hoops, Shahan. Let's talk about kind of nationally what you've seen from college football through the first 2 weeks. Obviously, the Big 12's placed in that. We're hoping we get two bids at the end of the season. We're hoping BYU's in the mix. But if you had to assess what you've seen so far, and whether it's a one-bid league or a two-bid league, what can they do to get two in? Are there wins to be had still?
Yeah, there are definitely wins to be had. I think that TCU has to take advantage of SMU, obviously them coming off of a loss to Baylor. Because again, like you just look at the teams that you're going to be compared against, especially from the ACC and the Big Ten. Like, it's going to be teams of that caliber. It's going to be the Illinois. It's going to be the SMU. It's going to be the Duke. And I think that you have to try to win some of those games. So I think for the most part, Big 12 teams have done a pretty good job of taking advantage of those opportunities against the non-SEC teams. Now, the SEC right now is just like they might be a 4 or 5 bid league this year just because of the way that they've played in these non-conference games. And so I think that when you look at the state of the Big 12 right now, I'd probably guess that they are a one bid league, but there are certainly opportunities left to fight their way back. And I think the other thing as well is that while, you know, we had this group of, you know, I had 4 or 5 teams in my top group heading into the season, maybe 9 with the possibility of winning the Big 12. Ironically, I think that some consolidation of these teams at the top could actually help the conference, because you look right now, I mean, the bottom of the Big 12 right now looks worse than it was last year with teams like Oklahoma State and West Virginia. Well, if those teams are just wins for other teams that are at the top, that can actually help a little bit. You know, I looked to the ACC last year, like, you know, they only had four maybe quality teams, but they were able to compile all of the wins at the same time. So if those teams are able to separate themselves, whether it be a TCU, an Iowa State, a BYU, a Baylor, a Utah, I think that that's going to help them, because you really just need some of those teams to be in that 10 or 11 win conversation at the end of the year.
Shahan, I know we've asked you this question a few times before, but things change quickly in the world of college football and certainly college sports. So as it pertains to the college football playoff, with every bit of knowledge that you've gathered and the conversations that you have heard from people that matter in the college football playoff sphere, where do you believe we're headed with that, and when do you think it's going to change?
So I think that there's a couple of things that have moved since the last time we've spoken. One is that schedule component, both the SEC being ready to go to 9 conference games, and also the addition of additional strength of schedule factors that will factor into the mix. And so what I think that'll do is, you know, the Big Ten has been the conference that's been trying to push for an extremely expanded playoff for tons of auto bids. Well, I think the SEC acquiescing on some of the scheduling points means that the Big Ten is probably going to give up on the 24-28 team playoff. I think we're going to move to 16. I think that we're probably going to be in a 5+11 system with 5 auto bids and 11 at-large bids. And I think that that will probably come before the 2026 season. You know, we've talked about on this program the initial college football playoff contract that was signed before the 2014 season is a 12-year contract. This is the last year of it. Starting in 2026, they've just signed a new contract without sort of formality in there. But I do think that we are going to move to 16 starting in 2026. And I do think ultimately it will only be one auto bid per league.
Shahan Jayaraj of CBS Sports bringing it on BYU Sports Nation. How do our fans, and frankly all college football fans, find more of your work, Shahan?
Yeah, you can follow my work at cbssports.com. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Shahan Jayaraj. And make sure and check out our podcast, The College Football Insiders, wherever you get your podcasts.
We wish you a nice, calm week 3 of college football, whatever that means.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. Shahan Jayaraj back on the program. He thinks it's going to be a 5+11 format, 16
yeah.
teams.
They've got to figure that out by December 1st, no later than December 1st, for it to go into effect for next year. So I like that. Let's do that.
Please.
I'm with Shahan. Let's
yes.
go.
No 2018 playoff.
No, come on. This ain't the Big Ten. If you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the free BYU TV app.
Still on the way, where does BYU women's volleyball land in this week's new rankings after their 6-0 start to the season? We'll tell you in our Tuesday headlines next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
I welcome you back inside Larry H. Miller Field at Miller Park.
And he got him! He sits him down with a backward K. He got him looking.
And he comes up big.
The Cougs will play in the conference tourney.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B alongside Dave McCann. My name is Jason Shepherd, and you know I love to talk some BYU baseball, and we get a chance to do that with some new coaches. In fact, we've got the new pitching coach, Adrian Dinkel, and the new director of pitching development, Braden Zastrow. Guys, welcome to BYU Sports Nation. What do you think of the digs in here?
Sweet. Man, it's cool.
I appreciate you having this. This is awesome.
This is a cool thing because you can come sit down here and talk to any recruit in the country, and they're just sitting in their living room wherever they live, and it doesn't count as an official visit. See how that is? Yeah, see how the magic works? Something new. This is a phenomenal set. You guys should come back all the time.
We're here.
So let's start with this. Fall camp opened yesterday. What types of things are you focusing on? And I know it's only been a day, but what's been the early impression?
The early impression has been, you know, we got a lot of good athletes that we're going to make sure that we keep healthy. Right. And that's kind of been our thing right now, is just making sure our workload management and our stress levels have been built the right way. So we can throw our best bullets on game day.
When there's some new things, and most of this team has stayed here through the summer, usually you guys take off and go play elsewhere, but how important has it been to keep them close and have them developing right away as opposed to, hey, where you been in the last 3 months?
Well, I think that's a two-part question. I think that one, that kind of shows, you know, the kind of program that Coach Pratt's created and the environment that they want to be around, but it's also really important so you can kind of keep an eye on that development and so those building blocks are a little bit more stable as we continue to move through the fall. So
Braden, I want to ask you, as the director of pitching development, how does that differ from what Coach Dinkle does as the pitching coach?
I would say mainly like he's calling the games and the shots, and I kind of wingman him, shoot my ideas out there, try and help in more ways than one. But yeah, just give my input and give some good information every once in a while.
Well, I love that you just came from the Yankees and you just came from Arizona.
Yes.
So from the Arizona perspective, looking at BYU last year, what did you see that they needed to get better that now you are being paid to do?
Pitch. You know, I coached first base for Arizona last year, so I was watching every pitch. And, you know, there's a lot of good athletes here. I think we can guide them in the right direction and, you know, maximize them. Like, that's the goal, is, like, to get the most out of each guy and make them the best versions of themselves to win baseball games. You know, that's the ultimate goal, win baseball games and make a run.
And look, when you watch them eliminate Arizona State from the Big 12 tournament, you were cheering for BYU, right? Because you were at Arizona?
Not quite. Yeah, that was my brother-in-law is a hitting coach. And so...
At ASU?
No, at BYU.
Oh, at BYU,
and I was
okay.
Coaching at U of A, so to put him out was kind of sad, I guess you could say, but not really.
Well, yeah, I know you were upset, but when they put Arizona State out...
Oh.
Yeah, that was their biggest win of the season.
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Okay, good answer.
Down.
Better answer.
Forks always down.
All right.
So, Coach Dinkle, when the hire was made and we got the press release and I was reading through the bio and the thing that stood out to me, originally from Magna, Utah.
Yep.
Okay, so what's the background? What's it like being back? Did you grow up there? Were you there and then moved away? What's the story?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Utah, Glendale Rose Park area, moved to Magna, went to Cypress, and then just started playing in college and kept going east and just kept going further east, right? Coached in college baseball for 18 plus years and then jumped in professional baseball, made full circle and kind of got back home. So, you know, we're excited about the opportunity to be back around family and around this program.
Yeah, and you've got, what, two national championships when you were at
Southeastern
in Florida, right?
That's right. Yeah. Very lucky to win a lot of baseball games. So,
as you have gone through all that and you've seen technology change, and now here at BYU, you're bringing technology with you. What are the tools you have now to help BYU pitch better in February and March?
Well, obviously you've got the TrackMan and the edgers that we kind of got into the program along with some other stuff that are kind of, when you're in this new wave of pitching and player development, it's a priority. It's having all those pieces, right? It's basically having a bunch of puzzle pieces that you can put together. And so, you know, with the edgers, they're going to be slow motion cameras that are going to kind of show us, you know, how we can seam shift some stuff and using our TrackMan to find the data that best fits each athlete, you know, where their pitch usage is probably more optimal for getting more outs. So it's been great.
For those that have been on campus over the last couple of months, you've seen some construction going on over at Miller Park, and there's an unbelievable facility that's being built and cages.